Rick Emerson Show welcomes your comments, questions, nude photos, and death threats at Rick Emerson, 2000 Southwest 1st Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97201. This is Hot Talk 1080, KOTK.
503-250 1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. Later on, top five coming your way. Also, another edition of How Chicks Think, but 2 hours away from, 2 hours away from Likas. Later on, the Phil Hendry Show. You can also email us if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. As is our want, we are live on this, the day after Thanksgiving.
Well, I tell you what, maybe we'll have ourselves a little Christmas right here. Come on, everyone, gather around. String up the lights and light up the tree. We're gonna make some revelry. Spirits are high, so I can tell it's Christmas time in hell. Demons are nicer as you pass them by. There's lots of demon toys to buy. The snow is falling and all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. There goes Jeffrey Dahmer with a festive Christmas ham. After he has sex with it, he'll eat up all he can. And there goes John F. Kennedy caroling with his son.
Reunited for the holidays, God bless us everyone. Everybody has a happy glow, let's dance in blood and pretend it's snow.
Even Mao Zedong is under the spell,
it's Christmas time in hell.
Adolf, here's a present for you.
What?
Yes, who's done involved? God cast me down from heaven's door to rule in hell forevermore. But now I'm kind of glad that I fell, because it's Christmas time in hell. Here's a rack to hang the stockings on. We still have to shop for Genghis Khan. Michael Landon's hair looks swell. It's Christmas time in hell. There's Princess Diana holding burning mistletoe. Over poor Gene Siskel's head to watch his weenie grow. For one day we all stop burning and the flames are not so thick. All the screaming and the torture stops and we wait for Old Saint Nick. So spring up the lights and light up the tree. We're damned for all eternity. But for just one day, all is well. It's Christmas time in hell. Gather close together and make it quick. We gotta make room for Andy Dick. Wake his mother and ring the bell. It's Christmas time.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
No matter what I say, it's going to be lame after that anyway.
It's all downhill. It's all anticlimactic.
It is. Anyway, this news is brought to you by Folgers. Now there's another way to enjoy the best part of waking up. Folgers Cafe Latte is a rich, frothy, creamy coffee. And it's a treat that comes in delicious flavors like Vanilla Vibe, Mocha Fusion, and Caramel Groove. Why don't you drink some? 50,000 happy gawkers turned out to watch the 14th annual Myron Frank Christmas Parade downtown this morning. There were 12, yes, count them, 12 marching bands traveling from as far as Tigard and Camas. Ronald McDonald made a guest appearance, as did an 18,000-pound locomotive. How do you weigh something like that? There were also rodeo queens and llamas.
Yes. Excellent. The hell is wrong with Portland?
But an 18,000-pound locomotive.
Why would you even have llamas here? Llamas aren't from Portland, are they? Do we grow llamas here?
We have them in the outskirts in Yamhill County. There's plenty of llama growing going out there.
Llamas, you're saying?
Llamas. People have them as pets.
You don't mean yarmulkes, do you?
Llamas. L-L-A-M-A-S.
All right.
Mm-hmm. They spit at people, too. Do you know that?
So do the French.
Well, not everyone's in a festive mood. Somebody used an explosive device to blow up a mailbox in Hillsborough, destroying it and its contents. A CO2 canister was found nearby. Stepping up from behind his rock band, John Rzezik is enjoying another side of the music business.
Okay, we're going to stop right now. I really have to can't this one go by.
Yes.
His name is Johnny. I know he's like... Well, you ought to be able to pronounce that. It's some stupid Hungarian name or something. It's Resnick. You just ignore... What kind of name is Resnick anyway? Because it's like R-Z-E. It starts with the R-Z-E, like Krzyzewski. So it's, what is it, like Polish or something?
No. Can't be.
Well, I don't know. Anyway, his name is Johnny Resnick. He's the lead singer for the Goo Goo Dolls, who all chicks love.
Well, he's a change it to something more American. He talks about how he discovered the... what's this about? Oh, he's he wrote and produced the original song for the animated feature Treasure Planet about a young man's search for himself. Oh, nice. This is how he talks about what he discovered about the character Jim and his time of celebration.
He found himself. He found out where he belonged. And he helped his mother rebuild their house taken away from her by the pirates, you know?
The pirates?
And I thought that was beautiful. It was time to have a celebration, you know what I mean? It was time for him
such a gay wad.
To stand back for a second and be proud of himself.
Yeah, pirates do a lot of damage if they're allowed to.
Can I just tell you that there's no... Johnny Resnick just drives me up the freaking wall and for several reasons. A... I don't mean to be all high fidelity on your ass or anything, but it's like, you know, the Goo Goo Dolls used to actually be a decent, you know, if not quite great, sort of Replacements cover band. Anybody out there who's a fan of the Replacements, the Goo Goo Dolls, up to and including this album called Superstar Car Wash, which came out of like 1993 on Metal Blade Records, featuring the hit song We Are the Normal. The Goo Goo Dolls actually used to be a pretty decent guitar-based rock band. But man, as soon as they had to hit that song Name... As soon as that song Name came out, they never wrote a good song again. Because they just immediately figured out that that was the key to success, and they just started Xeroxing that one song over and over again. We've now heard, well, like 9 or 10 different variations on that song from this band. And it's all got Johnny Resnick. He does that thing where he sort of half sings, half breathes the lyrics. You know what I'm talking about. The preeminent example of this is that hideous song from City of Angels, Iris, which, by the way, for those who are keeping score at home and playing the Rick Emerson home game, Iris is the most played song across every format in the history of radio since those records have been kept. I don't mean the single most played song, period, but I mean the song that was played the most widely on the widest variety of formats, meaning it got played on pop stations, rock stations, alternative stations, adult contemporary stations. But that song started out with that where he's just sort of like, sort of gasping that line up, I'd give up forever to touch you. And it's like, and as soon as that comes on, my girlfriend's eyes just mist over and she's, oh,
I do like that song.
Of course you like that song. You're a girl. It was created in a laboratory for you to like.
Yeah, I know.
And I can grant that it's a good pop song, but it's like every song since then is that. They're all that.
Well, you know, when you got something good, you just go with it. So.
Yeah. All right.
Sounds anyway. Like he needs a little chloroseptic to clear it.
And not only that, I saw him in an interview the other day, and he's had his teeth straightened. And I always consider it, this makes me sound like an unnecessarily purist-oriented, but I consider it a big sellout when a celebrity gets their teeth straightened and perfected. It's like one thing if you're missing a bunch of your teeth, you're like Jewel and you got that snaggle tooth coming off the side. But it's like, you know, not everybody's teeth are perfect. But you see him now and he's just got the Ken doll teeth. Chris Rock, same thing. Chris Rock, whose teeth were not all that bad to begin with, had his teeth capped and fixed. And
Tom
all...
Cruise.
Tom Cruise, same thing. You know, I just consider that, like, that is the ultimate prima facie evidence that you've gone soft.
And
get
I
your
think,
teeth fixed.
Well, here's the thing. I think if you can make it with slightly crooked teeth like Tom
then
Cruise or whatever,
it's
kind of charming. You know, it's like, oh, well, you're not completely perfect.
Seriously.
You know, you've got a little bit. It's kind of cute.
Well, you know,
it's,
I've had more women say that Brad Pitt is a lot hunkier now that he's kind of let himself go to seed just a little bit. Because, you know, you got his teeth all notched up for a Fight Club. You look at Brad, I don't think he's ever gotten them entirely fixed either. You look at Brad Pitt's teeth before and after Fight Club, and they were all grubbied up after that because he got them all, you know, he kind of had them gone over and notched up and stuff for the role in the movie. He just looks a lot more normal. Forget the hell I was talking about. And the
what
point
do you mean
is,
gone over?
Well, he had them notched up and darkened a little bit.
Oh.
He had the perfections taken off his teeth. The point is, I dislike Johnny Resnick intensely. Anyway.
What else is on TV tonight besides the Muppet movie? Wow, the Brady Bunch in the White House. And it's a Fox thing, too.
Yeah, don't miss that.
It's a brand new.
Is that brand new?
Yeah. Gary Cole and Shelley Long, President Mike Brady and Vice President Carol Brady deal with family and politics in Washington. It's 2 hours.
Oh, wait, so this is another in the ever-growing line of Brady Bunch parody films.
Yeah,
this isn't like
probably.
The... Like all those hideous movies, like A Very Brady Christmas and crap that they were shoveling onto us in the early 90s.
Then we have Merry Christmas, spelled M-A-R-Y. It's Cynthia Gibb and John Schneider. A reporter reads a letter
baby.
From an 8-year-old whose one wish is a new mother for himself and a wife for his widowed father. Star Trek II is on tonight, The Wrath of Khan.
Khan!
Biography, Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, that's obviously counter-programming is what that is.
I wasn't really paying attention. I was half listening, doing something else, and then suddenly I hear you scream into my ears, and I didn't even hear what it
was. It was a man scream.
I was screaming.
It was a man scream.
It's kind of girly, actually.
It was rather high-pitched. Khan from Star Trek II.
Okay, do it again.
I'm not going to do it again. You weren't paying attention.
It was really kind of a girly rendition.
The point is, we're doing what I call counter-programming because we have the Christmas movie with John Schneider and the Brady Bunch Christmas, and so directly opposite that we have The Wrath of Khan and the biography of Donald Rumsfeld. And that's like the woman's watching the John Schneider Christmas movie downstairs, and the guy's upstairs going, Khan!
There's more counter stuff.
That was definitely
Shut
better.
Up.
We have amazing animal holiday video. See lots of dogs knock over Christmas trees for like 2 hours. Drive Me Crazy with Melissa Joan Hart and Adrian Grenier.
She plays Sabrina the Teenage Witch, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the girl.
Yeah, and it's got
and
that.
Clarissa explains it all.
And that's also got the
Britney Spears song in it.
Yeah, the Britney song.
Yeah, it's only got 2 stars. It's on the Family Channel.
Yeah,
so don't watch it. What else is on tonight? Voodoo, the history and practices of voodoo in Haiti. This is why we don't allow those Haitians over here. And let's see, on VH1, 19 funny-ass videos. I don't know what that's about.
Once you get past Jennifer Lopez, not actually about asses. You mean funny ass as in the hyphenated. Okay.
It's got a hyphenated ass.
Don't we all have a hyphenated ass? How could you use the bathroom otherwise?
Mm.
You just spend, you just spend every day getting larger. Okay.
Well, it's going to be mostly sunny today at some point.
Why can't I lose any weight?
We're here tonight in patchy fog, lows in the 30s. And sunny tomorrow, except for some morning fine, and sunny on Sunday as well. So sunny for many, many more days. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800. Are your parents still listening today, Christina?
They are still listening. I was actually just thinking about them because I guess yesterday they were... She wanted to call earlier, but you say the phone number's too quickly is what she said. So.
Not too quickly. Maybe your mom thinks too slowly.
Ooh.
No, I'm just saying. I don't say the phone numbers that quickly.
Yesterday we went from she's a lovely woman to she deals with high school students.
She deals with high school students. If high school students all talk in a very rapid fire type of delivery.
But I think it's just anyway. So I was thinking that maybe you should slow it down for those who have never made the time to write it down.
For the oldsters in the audience, the numbers are 503.
Now, don't be a jerk about
it. I'm not being a jerk. I'm just saying. This is a fast-paced show. You tune out for even a moment, you're going to miss stuff. This is not, the show is not about passive listening. The show isn't, I'm just saying this, and everybody knows this is true. The talk radio in general, and this show specifically, this is not a passive, this is not background entertainment. You listen to the show with your full brain, you know what I mean? 503-250-1080, 503-250-1080, or outside the great city of Portland, Oregon, 1-800-727-5955. Those are the phone numbers. You can also email us, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Yeah, okay. Let's see. Rick, heard your shameless guilt tripping on Christina on Wednesday, and I got to tell you guys, you did the guilt trip in style. It's for a good cause. Continue to lay it on. Have a great day. The Reverend. He's from a Reverend, baby. That's what I'm talking about. From the Reverend. I won't give his last name. Reverend Larry. Big ups to you, Reverend Larry.
We have a Reverend listening to us?
Jesus, representing up in this thing. Oh, yeah. David in Portland, what's up with you?
Hey, Rick.
What do you got?
Hey, question for you. Where did you get that sound bite at the beginning of the hour?
Christmas Time in Hell?
Yeah.
That's South Park. It's off the, I think it's just called a South Park Christmas. Or no, it's Mr. Hankey's, it's called Mr. Hankey's Christmas Classics.
Oh, that was funny. Hey, I got a comment on, for Rob on who you pissed off for the week.
Okay.
Capping on Tom Selleck.
How did I bust on Tom Selleck?
You called him a homo.
I never called him a homo. I said that there are many people who believe that he is a homo.
Well, here's the funny part. When I was going through SEALs training, that just came out on when Magnum came out. And the instructors were just hilarious about that show.
I'm completely confused.
When Magnum came out.
Okay, yes.
Okay, his character was a Navy SEAL.
Oh, you were actually, you were in Navy SEAL training?
Yeah, And when that came out, and the instructors were going off on us all the time about that. So you want to live in Hawaii, huh?
Yeah. Well, no, that's like every time I see some movie that ostensibly is about radio or stars, especially if it's about talk radio.
Yeah.
And it's like, long ago, I gave up the idea that any movie about radio was going to be realistic or representational of the field at all in
any
way.
What about Private Parts?
The Private Parts, you know, sad but true, Private Parts is probably closer to the actual depiction of radio, but that's because Howard obviously had a lot of creative control on it.
Well, yeah.
But you watch a movie like, what leaps to mind, like that Truth About Cats and Dogs movie with Janine Garofalo.
Yeah.
Even as much as I love Eric Bogosian, and I really do, you see the movie Talk Radio, the Oliver Stone film starring Eric Bogosian, he's in like a $900,000, he's in a studio that's the size of like a Manhattan townhouse.
Yeah.
It's got these, a wood paneled floor, it's got these huge panorama windows that look out onto the city of Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, it costs more than a house. And of course, you know, the average studio is the size of like, it's like a closet. It's like the size of a janitor's shed. You know what I mean? That's what the average radio studio is like.
You'd be lucky if your bathroom was,
seriously. Even Frasier. I mean, the studio on Frasier is so unbelievably luxurious compared to any radio studio that anybody I know has ever worked in.
Well, what was it?
The studio on Frasier is pretty close to what you work in.
Well, that's not true. It's got all that wood paneling.
Well,
it's got all that walnut paneling in it.
Yeah, you got a lot of wood in there.
Yeah, I got wood, not walnut. I got Walmart wood in here.
And Gibson used to have a studio right out on the glass front of their building. You walk by. It was like a fishbowl.
Oh, man. I used to work in a country music station that was on the street. It was in downtown, in bustling downtown Kennewick, Washington. It was a studio for a country music station called Y106 Continuous Country. And it was right downtown, and the huge wall, the window in the studio was shared with the street. You know what I mean? And it was like literally right on the sidewalk. So if you were walking by the sidewalk and you know, rapped on the window, we'd hear it inside. It was about 2 feet away from us. You know, and later they switched to a talk radio format, and they learned very quickly that was a bad idea, because you get people coming by and screaming obscenities, and somebody threw a brick through the window at one point. So it's just, here's a funny story about that station real quickly before we talk to Troy. That station, it was country music station right downtown between like three different cowboy clubs, you know, cowboy bars. And there was always fights, always people getting worked over and whatnot. One night, it's like 2 a.m, I'm playing the country hits. I decided to go outside, get some air, open the front door, step out onto the sidewalk to get some of the cool night refreshment. Big steaming pool of blood out on the sidewalk right out front of me. They'd already hauled the guy away, but some guy gotten stabbed with a screwdriver after a fight over some woman at the cowboy club right down the street. So, good times. All right, in Milwaukee, it's Troy. You're on Hot Talk today, KFTK. What's up?
This is the Mullet Man.
Oh, Troy the Mullet Man. How goes life?
Good. I'm just calling to wish Christina the best and that I'm going to miss her.
Well, we're all going to miss her.
Yeah.
It's sad.
It's a sad day.
It is. It is indeed. So you'll have to... Have you heard back from... Have you gotten John's permission on whether you're going to be here for another week or not?
We haven't really talked about it, no. So.
Well, he is here, right?
Yeah, he will be here actually later. He'll be dropping off my sister, so.
Oh, great. So that's an irreplaceable opportunity. See, the man is taking Christina away to Bend, Oregon. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-7. Remind me to give him a hug. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, or 1-800-727-5955. More calls coming up, top five, another edition of How Chicks Think, and like us in about 90 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's Hot Talk to Nettie KFTK.
KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
1:27, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by Everybody's Garden Center. Thanksgiving in New England, Dateline Quincy, Massachusetts. A dominatrix charged with involuntary manslaughter has been released on her own recognizance in Quincy, Massachusetts. Barbara Asher told police that a man named Michael Lord died during a bondage session in her condo. He was allegedly strapped in a crucifix position with a hood over his head. Asher said she panicked and that she and her boyfriend cut up the body and dumped it in a restaurant trash bin in Maine.
Ah.
No body parts have been found yet. She could get 20 years in prison.
Well, if no body parts have been found, how do they know that the guy was murdered?
That's a good question, isn't it?
No, my whole thing, I'm not trying to give advice to murderers, but I'm saying, don't they have to, they can't prosecute murder without a body, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They got to have motive, murder, well, no, it was a motive, weapon, motive, and opportunity.
Motive means an opportunity. You don't have to have a body to prove a murder. It just makes
true.
It really easy for the defense to prove reasonable doubt.
But you can't prove a murder without a body, is what I'm saying. How? Unless you got a videotape. Another, you got to have a picture. You got to have representation and evidence of the body being killed.
Well, didn't that say that she came in and confessed?
No. Yeah, she says she panicked and that she and her boyfriend cut up the body and dumped it in a restaurant trash bin.
Okay, my point is, but that's not the same thing. I'm not talking about a confessional. I'm saying... Absent a confession, you can't prove murder without a body.
They've tried to do it in the past.
But it's never succeeded, has it?
I'm sure it probably has at some point.
I'm just saying, the point is, it's like in Glengarry Glen Ross when he says, the first thing you'd know if you ever spend a day in your life, you never open your mouth until you know what the shot is. That's all I'm saying. You don't go cop and do a murder if they don't have the body, it seems to me. And criminals are getting dumber. You know what I mean? It's like with every generation, it's some sort of somebody's reversed the flow of Darwinism, because the criminals are getting stupider with every succeeding generation. It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
All right.
It's supposed to be mostly sunny this afternoon. Highs about 55, clear tonight. Some patchy fog, lows in the 30s. Sunny tomorrow and Sunday. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, home of the $200 laptop.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. About a few minutes from now, we'll do the top five. Another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. We got this from Sherry. Rick, sorry to see Christina go. She'll be missed. Whatever happened to her getting a tattoo? That's right. You damn woman.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that.
Are you going to let her get away without getting one? It's funny. I actually got another email about the tattoo about a week ago, and a guy said, if you let something along the line, I'll paraphrase, he said something along the lines of, if you let her move to Bend without a tattoo across her posterior that says property of the Rick Emerson Show, I'll never forgive you. So we're probably not going to, I mean, obviously that would be my first choice, but it's like when those guys, you know those chicks that have some guy, other guy's name tattooed on them? That's got to be a lot of fun for whoever comes along to hit that next, you know what I'm talking about? Can you imagine, because you'll actually get, I went to school with this girl, her name was Candy Jackson. And Candy, she's not Southern, but I always just seem to impose the twang on people that I sort of believe to be stupid. But Candy Jackson sat next to me in geometry class and literally had a guy's name. It was like Bill or Bob or some, real run-of-the-mill name. Some guy she met in a metal shop or whatever. Some guy's name tattooed literally right above her ass. Right in the small of the back. And, right above, the parting of her buttocks. It was right there. And it's of course she dumped the guy, 6 months after she got it. And so you got to wonder, your options are pretty limited there.
Going to get it covered up. Get a cool little design, put over the name, filled in.
But, you can't do that right away. I mean, it takes a couple weeks to set up the appointment or to get it, to get it done or to get the opportunity, especially you're 16. Unless you're going to do it at home with a push pin and a bottle of India ink. Unless you're going to do it jailhouse style. And, of course, she immediately hooked up with some other guy. And so that's got to do wonders for your turgidity. Trying to have sex with some chick, some other guy's name right on her ass. Literally, another guy's name on her ass.
Or you could create a list like the chick on the jerk, alphabetize the list of partners you've had.
Nah. Well, it's like Johnny Depp had the Winona forever or whatever, and he got a rose bush or some crap over it, so. Nikki Sixx had the coolest ever means for getting rid of a tattoo, because Nikki Sixx was dating Vanity for a long time. And he had the big V on his shoulder for Vanity. And so then he just added a 1 behind it with bars at the top and made it the Roman numeral for 6, because Nikki Sixx. So that's the best ever way to get out of that.
Do you think he planned that when he originally got it?
No, seriously, you got it. Don't ever get... I'm telling you right now, and I know... there's people out there that don't take my advice on stuff like they should. But never, ever get somebody's name tattooed in your body. It's just an invitation to disaster. It is never, ever a good idea. It's never going
to
work.
There's an exception to that. One of my best friends, actually, when his son was born, had his son's name tattooed on his arm.
Aww.
Okay, so That's I'm not really ever going to change. Partner. Yeah, but never like a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Never get a romantic partner's... Well, I mean, I've mentioned this story before. My dad, a constant source of tension between my mom and my dad. My dad, in the Navy, of course, drunk, tattooed, as all guys in the Navy get, you know, just well into his cups one night. He's like in Guam or something. Let's get tattooed! And so he has two tattoos, one on each arm, as men do. And on his right arm, I think it is, it's the, you know, it's the anchor, you know, the Navy anchor deal. And then with like the eagle behind it. And then on his other arm is a big red heart, and then across the heart is a paper scroll. And the scroll is left blank in the middle. It's left white in the middle for a space to put a woman's name. Except there's no woman's name there. I mean, it's obviously meant to have... It's like in the beginning of a book where it has the, you know, this book belongs to. Well, it's the heart with a scroll and there's nobody's name there. And my mom badgered him for like the entire length of their marriage about... And why aren't you putting my name in your, why aren't you putting my name in your tattoo? Why is the scroll still blank? And my dad always had the same answer. He was just real short of it. He goes, you might not always be around. I'm like, you know.
Does he just plan on writing the name in that little space every day?
Yeah, but just like one of those like little Cracker Jack tattoos, all temporary.
Just wash it off if it changes.
Janine, you know. So no, to no one's surprise, divorced years later. Anyway. All right, well, let's do this. We got Jolie from the front desk coming back in a little while for another edition of How Chicks Think. Like us in about 90 minutes. This, however, is your top five for Friday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is I love to count, don't you?
And it's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom with today's top five.
And speaking of must-have holiday items, these are the top five most popular albums in America as of today, November 29th, 2002. Number five is Jay-Z, The Blueprint 2, The Gift and the Curse. Must be a Christmas album.
Yeah. It just reeks holiday spirit, doesn't it? Is it that song with Beyonce Knowles?
Yep, there really is. Bonnie and Clyde 2003.
Now that's a takeoff on the Eminem Bonnie and Clyde 97.
I think it probably is, yeah.
Is it 97? Is that the... or 96? What the hell was that?
No, there's Bonnie and Clyde 97, and then there's... It's mentioned again in the next CD, and then it's mentioned again in the Eminem show.
All right.
So he's...
Clyde and Bonnie
Trey. Yeah, Eminem's done something with that whole Bonnie and Clyde thing on every one of his discs that's been released.
All right. This even kind of sounds like the Eminem song. It's got that whole kind of sung chorus, like the just the two of us, that thing that Eminem did. When do we start sequelizing songs? Because this is The Blueprint 2, right? Is that the name of the album, Tim? Yeah, The Blueprint 2. And the Metallica had that Unforgiven 2. Like, I mean, I know that they've released songs before that were many different parts to begin with, like, especially in the 70s. Like, you know, bands like Yes and well, yeah, but I mean, progressive rock bands have always done that, where it's like one album, and it has Another Brick in the Wall, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. But when did we... But that's not really a sequel. That's a song that's broken up into three parts on the record. Like, when do we actually start recording sequels to songs and albums? Because, like, Metallica had Load, and then they had Reload. It's a relatively recent phenomenon. Yeah, I'm kind of down with the song. I typically don't like Jay-Z, but I can get with this. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, it's kind of slow and...
Well, if you don't like Jay-Z, you might like J. Rule, who's in fourth place with The Last Temptation. Oh, get this one from Mom.
Such an angry young man. Is this stuck? Is this skipping?
No, really it's not, but it does take a little while to take out all of the objectionable words.
And by the way, it's good to know that I'm not the only one that points out the Ja Rule DMX thing, because I saw DMX being interviewed the other day. And he was talking about how he's like, all these guys out there that are just knockoffs of me, and he specifically mentioned this guy. Specifically pointed him out as just being a DMX light. And I thought I was the only one to make that that observation.
He's BMX light, and he's nowhere near as good.
No, he's not nearly, and he's not as sincerely menacing.
I've been blowing your bitch back out for years, but she said so many tears for me. While you was away, was around the time I made put it on me. So home and safe from round here, you ain't know.
Yeah, DMX ought to get a royalty every time this guy puts out a song. And what's his name? RZA ought to get one every time somebody puts out some song that has that weird syncopated piano thing in the background, because that's totally, that never existed before the Wu-Tang Clan came out, ever. What?
Just all the beats, just funny.
Oh, well, that's how the kids talk these days.
Yeah, you feeling hot tonight, we're looking here, play ball, we can go outside. You feeling hot tonight, we're looking here, little mama, we can go outside.
You and me, little mama, we could go outside. Try that.
You're feeling hot tonight.
You try that the next time you're at the corner bar.
Number three is the soundtrack to 8 Mile. I don't know who does this.
This is Eminem, young man. It's a man we're all getting behind. We think he's got great things ahead of him.
Most interesting quote from our Thanksgiving dinner last night was my mom saying, "You know, I'd really like to see 8 Mile."
Well, you know, Max Mom said the same thing.
My mom and dad wouldn't saw it.
Did they like it?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Which just, I don't know, just freaks me out.
Really? No, the thing is, if you can get past the fact that it's Eminem, if you can get past the fact that it's rap, which is an insurmountable hurdle for some people, they can't get past the fact that it's hip-hop. And if you can get past the fact that you have to see him strip Brittany Murphy up against a big wall in a steel mill, it's a great movie. It's a movie in the classic tradition, you know, of I hate to say, a lot of the Elvis films and Rocky and, again, in all those Joseph Campbell films where it's the hero's journey. It really is. It's a film of a type. It is an archetype. This is a great song, by the way. This is the last song in the soundtrack. The song called Rabbit Run. This is just an amazing song. And see, it's that repeated little signature in the background of that dun-dun-dun in the back, just repeats, and there's no chorus to this song. This song employs a musical device which doesn't really work for a lot of people, where there's no chorus, there's no release, there's no change. It's just one repeating sort of phrase over and over and over again, and it builds and builds, and I think the beat gradually increases. I think the tempo gets gradually faster as the song goes on, and by the end, it's about a third faster than it was at the beginning, and it just ends real coldly. It's just a great song. It sounds like he's reaching through the speakers and grabbing you by the back of the head. I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing song.
Mama Jimmy keeps leaving on us. He said he'd be back. He think he promised. I don't think he's honest. I'll be back, baby. I just gotta beat this clock. I'ma make them eat this watch. Don't believe me, watch. I'ma win this race, and I'ma come back and rub my in your face, bitch. I found my niche. You gon' hear my voice.
Not enough profanity, that one for my taste. Number two, now that's what I call music. Three gals, Vanessa Carlton, Nelly, and Jennifer Love Hewlett.
I like it,
I Were y'all glad to see this album fail? Like, why would you pick Meredith Brooks to produce your record? Why would you possibly... Or is she just watching VH1's Where Are They Now? And, she looks out of work. I bet she'll do it cheaply.
Nah, she wanted to capture that feminist movement.
It's like having the kids in Hanson produce your record. What would you be... What are you thinking? Where's that guy that did the Pina Colada song? I bet he'll lend just the right touch to my music. where are the Buggles? I need to get that. I need to have Trevor Horn produce my record.
Tell yourself it wasn't you.
Could this be any more uninteresting? I'm not even going to comment on the callow marketing ploy of calling a song Bare Naked when it's being sung by Jennifer Love Hewitt. All right.
Number one is Shania Twain with Up.
Oh, swell. ZZ Top, ladies and gentlemen.
Def Leppard.
This is not a good song.
No.
I listen to our sister station occasionally and get kind of the feedback of some of their listeners and everything. You know, majority of people that listen to KWJJ do not like this song.
Nobody likes Shania Twain. And here's the thing about Shania Twain. It's because I disagree with people who say that television fools people. I think that I really believe the camera doesn't lie. And I have a point here. My point is, you remember the Nixon-Kennedy debates? And we've all heard that old story in communications class a million times. The people listened to it on the radio thought that Nixon won, but the people who watched the television thought that Kennedy won. And people say that's because Kennedy was more good-looking. It's not true. It's because when you watch Richard Nixon talk, you realize what he is. You realize he's a shifty snake oil salesman. You know. It's like when you saw Clinton. You saw Clinton on television, and you're like, the guy's a weasel and a philanderer. And you can tell by looking at him. Same thing with George W. Bush. You see George Bush on television, and he comes off like a nitwit. You cannot hide from the camera. And Shania Twain comes off as cold and distant and bitchy. And I think that's how she is. And everybody who's ever met her has said the same thing. Everybody, not just people I know, but people in the media, hear people talk about having met Shania Twain, and they all say that she is just this ice queen. And I think that that comes off in her music. I don't think you can hide that.
Well, she's all about, like, this women empowerment.
Oh, please.
Well, no, I mean, like, just, I don't know, the way that she kind of sings about, like, even, like, the title of the song, I'm Gonna Get You Good.
You know, if you want to be empowering, quit shaking your cakes to try to sell your lame-ass records. Jesus. I mean, the most blatant thing about this is that the same day, she released two versions of this record on the same day, you know. This album's called Up. Two versions. There's a version of this where every song is done country style, and there's a completely separate album with the same 19 songs done rock style. I mean, if you ever needed to know something about Shania Twain, that's her right there. That is her in a nutshell. All right, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show.
Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. The Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk Tonight. It's Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. We are here live, as is our want. Coming up later on, we'll check in with our good friend Big Gay Sarah, who is ensconced in Kennewick for the time being. Like it's but an hour away. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think, featuring Jolie from the front desk. Thing about this, by the way, is every day after the show is over, I find myself at my desk singing this song uncontrollably. I don't like it. I don't want it. It's just there in my head and it won't leave.
This one sticks really good.
Seriously, so. It's just like an uninvited brother-in-law. It's just there forever. All right, Jolie, so how's your Thanksgiving, by the way?
I woke up sick yesterday, so I'm pretty pissed off at Matt for coming into work with that nasty earache he had.
Excellent.
This F Matt could be sponsored by your business.
That was implied, I felt. All right,
thank you.
So, okay, so today's How Chicks Think question actually comes from me because, you know, Christmas is coming up, and so today is one of the biggest shopping days of the year, so Lauren's out doing all the shopping for me. So she's getting ready to go shopping, and I said, well, what are you going to get me? You know, she goes, because I'm going shopping for you for Christmas. I said, well, what are you going to buy me? She goes, well, I can't tell you. It's going to be, you know, it's got to be a surprise. And this whole conversation was last night, and I said, well, here are the following four things that I want. I want I want the new Bob Woodward book. I want the Buffy Season 3 box set. I also want, and she's like, well, I can't buy you any of that stuff. And I said, why? And she goes, well, it's got to be a surprise. And I said, why? And she goes, well, because I want you to enjoy it. And I said, but I'm telling you what I want. These are the four things I want. Beyond those four things, feel free to improvise or extrapolate as you see fit. But these, I'm telling you, here are the four items I wish to have for Christmas.
Those were in effect the Glengarry leads.
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's the whole thing. But so by definition, I now know that whatever I'm getting for Christmas is not the things I actually want. So it's this weird Greek punishment where the things I've specifically asked for are now the things I will not be getting. It just seems all unnecessarily weird to me.
This is so frustrating, but why do you... I'm frustrated when we start talking about this. This is a good topic because this is what my husband and I go through every gift day.
Well, see, but you could just cut the Gordian knot on this by just giving him what he asks for.
Why do you need to know what she's getting you?
Because I want her to be happy by giving me things that I actually want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because what do women always say? Women are always like, well, I just enjoy giving people things. I just enjoy getting you something you'll want. Well, how are you going to know what that is unless I tell you?
Mm-hmm.
And when I specifically tell you what it is that I want, then it gets rejected as being no longer a surprise.
Uh-huh.
The value of surprise is vastly overrated.
Well, now, women kind of pay attention throughout the whole year about things that you want. So they're going to surprise you with stuff that you don't think you're going to get. But here's
stuff
the thing.
You said you want.
If it's something that I don't think I'm going to get, then by definition, I don't really want it all that badly.
Yeah, see, that's the thing with you men. You change your mind and, like, write Christmas, oh, I want this and this and this and this.
Oh,
and this.
Wait a minute. Men change their mind?
What the hell are you? What planet do you live on?
Come on. Now, let me go over some points with you. Because women want to buy things that are useful, you know? Like my husband, all he wants is these Volkswagen cars. He has like 100 of them already, and that's all he ever wants. But I don't want to spend, you know, also he wanted like a game, some video game that he doesn't even play. And it's like $60, and I could, you know, that could pay a bill, or that could buy me a pair of shoes.
Yeah, because that sounds exciting for Christmas. For Christmas, I paid the light bill.
I'm trying to make a point here.
I don't understand the point.
Well, women, you know how women are, they have to feel, you know, and they like that surprise thing, the element of surprise, and it makes them feel really good. But, like, I went out and bought my husband some clothes, and he just hated it. So, Well, come on, you need clothes,
Merry Christmas,
too.
I got you socks.
Well, I think, girls... Like buying appliances for women?
I think girls want to prove how much they know.
Exactly.
You.
Right.
It's not a scavenger hunt. It's not the SATs. We have to continue this on the other side. There's, you haven't heard, though. We'll be back with more of this in just a moment. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. All right, we have more on that. We'll continue this discussion in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. Plus, Christina's younger, blonder sister, Annalisa, will be here. Also, more of your phone calls. Like, it's about an hour and change away. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's on Talk 1080 KTK. Better.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.